Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Galatians chapter 5. We've been in a series all fall called The Holy Spirit. Let me hear you say the Holy Spirit. It's been a good journey. There's been lots of great stuff. Bill Byers last week really poured out. Bob Long came weeks ago too and poured out. It's been a really good seeing what the Lord's doing in this thing. I don't know if next week I'm going to preach a closing message to this or not. I'm really kind of seeing where he wants to go with it specifically. But today was my intended closing on this. We're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And I believe that if we're going to move into revival, remember, revival is for the church. He awakens, he revives the church. Those who have already been alive, he's reviving us into a place of beloved identity where we understand who we are in him, who he is to us. There's a revival of vision. There's a revival of hope. There's a revival of purpose. He's reviving the body of Christ back into her place of godly influence on the world. Why? So that it can awaken the lost world, those who are dark, those who are dead, those who need to come alive. They need to be awakened to the reality of his goodness and what he wants to do. And in that process, he's reforming. We talk about reformation. The Protestant Reformation was an important point in our history over 500 years ago. But he's going to do something in this reformation that's a kingdom reformation, where everywhere on the planet that the kingdom is not fully established yet, his rule, his reign, his dominion is not fully established yet, he's going to begin to bring that. That's why Hebrews 12, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Why? So we can receive an inheritance of what? The unshakable kingdom. The only thing that remains, repeat after me, the only thing that remains is his kingdom. So the beauty of that is because we're born again, if you're born again, say I am. So part of your inheritance is an unshakable kingdom. The challenge is during the shaking of the world, we don't lose our perspective and focus and come to an earthly perspective. I told you a couple weeks ago that whole verse about like James Bond. He liked a martini that was shaken, not stirred. And the Lord's like, no, I want you to be stirred, not shaken. Stirred up by what's on my heart, stirred up into the things that he's wanting to do. He's deposited within you his identity. He's deposited within you the same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is the same spirit that's deposited in each of you, specifically if you're born again. And he wants to stir something in you, which is this. Before I knew you, before I knit you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew the purpose of the plan I have for your life. I know I was going to prosper you. I knew the people I was going to send you in. And you're like, yeah, and he sent me into a crazy family or abusive family or a bad situation, a dark situation. Yeah, he knew he was going to send you there. And at the same time, he knew how he was going to come and work his goodness in your life. I just was talking to somebody this week, and I was just like, you can't change your past. You can't change where you landed, but you certainly can change now to bring transformation to where you're at. You can be light in the darkness. Instead of looking at, why has the world happened to me? I'm happening to the world. Come on! And what does that look like? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the character of God. What's the character of God? According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, character is defined as this: the way one thinks, the way one feels, and the way one behaves. The way one thinks, the way one feels, and the way one behaves. And I'm going to add a kingdom perspective to it. And it's the overflow of who you are into the world around you. Whenever you recognize that Jesus manifests the perfect character of his Father. Remember, Philip comes and they're having this conversation and says, Lord, show us the Father. He goes, if I've been with you all this time, you don't even recognize him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Woo! So there's this manifestation of the character, the way God thinks, the way he feels, the way he behaves in the life of Jesus. And I'm going to give you this verse in 1 John 4:17. Let me read this before we get to there. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment because, listen to this, as he is, so are we in this world.
Yes, Lord.
So repeat after me, as Jesus is. You know what that means? As he is right now.
Come
And what? And who is he right now? How is he right now? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the eternal one. He's the unchanging God. He's always been good. He will always be good. As he is, so am I. As he is. So as Jesus, as the Father is, Jesus was on the planet. Why was that? He was submitted to the character of his Father, the fruit of who God is. We talked a couple weeks ago about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts are the things, the abilities that we can do. And we need to realize that our giftedness is not our identity. Otherwise, it would be a works-based identity. But they are the things that we can do. Okay? And then the fruit of the Spirit, again, is the manifestation of God's character into the world around us, but they're meant to be paired together. And there's too many times where it's either we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we don't talk about that weird gift stuff, or we're over here and we got to talk about the gifts of power, but that fruit stuff is all kind of fluffy stuff, right? And then what do? You end up getting a lopsided gospel. And instead it's like, no. He manifests as healer through the gift of healing. He manifests as the prophetic one who speaks life when we prophesy. And at the same time, he manifests love when you manifest love to the world. And here's what I understand the giftedness. The giftedness is the ability. The fruit is the motivation of the Father. The gifts are the abilities, but the fruit of the Spirit is the motivation of the Father. For God so loved, he gave. He does out of his motivations of who he is. And so if we get into this perspective of the fruits of the Spirit and begin to realize this, man, when I'm talking about love and joy and patience and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness and control, I'm just talking about a temporary feeling. I'm not just talking about this is a behavior thing for me. I need to start acting more loving. Like God is love, so Andrew, I got to love you more. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen an apple tree do this? Apple. Didn't work. Apple. I'm an apple tree. I'm supposed to produce an apple tree through my self-effort. If I was a really good apple tree, I could just pop out apples because I tried really hard. It doesn't work that way. How does an apple tree produce fruit? Its roots go down into soil. Its roots receive nutrients and water and everything it needs. And those roots pick up, and then out of it flows. The life comes from the ground. And then what ends up happening is fruit is naturally produced out of what it's connected to. And so in the same way the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to put our roots down in him. I don't remember the address, but it says, let your roots grow deep in who he is. The foundation of who Jesus Christ is. Let your roots grow down deep. And so what ends up happening is it's a relational connectivity. This is why Jesus describes and John says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you're connected to me, you'll produce fruit. If you're not connected to me, you're either not going to produce fruit or you're going to produce bad fruit and you're going to be cut off. Why would you be cut off? Because you're not rooted and connected to him. And see, the Father sends Jesus and stays intimately connected to his Son. And so what was Jesus? The Father was the vine. Jesus was branched into the Father underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a perfect illustration. And then we're grafted into what? Into Jesus. So as he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. So we look again at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They must manifest into the planet in order for the kingdom to be brought about. And at the same time, the fruit of the Spirit must be our motivation. Have you ever met a lost person who's been able to demonstrate kindness? So we can give a descriptive term of what kindness looks like, and out of good effort, I can produce kindness. I can produce a form of love. I can produce a form of gentleness or humility, right? And I can even show a level of self-control, but that does not mean it's lasting fruit. The type of fruit that the Holy Spirit brings is lasting fruit. It grows in its nature. Why? Because I'm interconnected into that God is love. He is gentleness itself. He is the humble one. Somebody's talking, well, God can't be humble. I'm like, are you serious? He came in the flesh to rescue you. That takes a whole lot of humility to lay aside his divinity in order to come rescue us. And so God is the definition of humility. He is the definition of goodness. He is the definition of peace. That's exactly what it is. And so as he is, I'm called to bring the nature of God. If we're going to seek first the kingdom, okay, remember the kingdom is the domain of the king, rule and reign, and his righteousness. What's righteousness? Not just that we've been made right with him, that's true, but what's the fruit of righteousness? Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, salvation, praying for the sick, loving people where they're at. I mean, do you hear what I'm saying? And so we're seeking after him, his rule and his domain, and I'm seeking to see the fruit of his right ways pour out of my life, not because I try really hard, but because I'm connected into relationship. So here's, you know, the kingdom can be a paradox at times, right? The Bible brings some paradoxical things. If you want to live your life, if you want to gain your life, you have to lose your life. Anyone who tries to gain his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake gains it. And you're like, what the heck does that mean? It means this. If you try to find the solution in and with yourself, you're always going to lose what you're looking for because it won't last. But when you seek him and you discover who he is and out of relationship, and here's the key to being a cheerful giver, you surrender. So I do play a part in this thing. It's not a works-based gospel, but if I never choose to surrender completely over to him, I'm never, ever going to receive from him what he wants to give me. And he's like, God, I got so much good for you. This is why when it says this, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. What is he saying? The level that you honor the one you're receiving from is going to determine the level of what you can receive from them. So, for example, if you receive Jesus only as a righteous man, you will receive the righteousness of Jesus, but you're going to miss out on his lordship and his kingship and a lot of other things. But if you begin to receive Jesus in the name of Yeshua, of who he is, the King of heaven, guess what? It opens up the possibilities of what's possible for you to receive from. He didn't change. He's always been king. He's always been righteous. He's always been good. But if I don't receive him according to that, I'm only tapping my root into a portion of who he is. And what I'm called to do is let my roots, let me hear you say roots. A healthy tree has more than one root. Because what happens? The wind blows, all stuff like that. But if I got roots going down, guess what? It's going to take a whole lot more huffing and puffing than the bad wolf had to knock me down. Why? Because I'm rooted in him. He's going to try to blow you over. That's going to happen. Remember, Jesus was tempted, yet he was without sin. Every way you and I are tempted. So as he is, repeat after me, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. And it's important to understand in this world component because there's a whole end of eschatology, which is the study of end times, that will put that verse into eternity. Well, when I get to heaven, I'll be just like him. When I get there, everything will be good. And the truth is what? Yes, when I get there, when everything's transformed, yes, I'll have access to everything there. But notice it says, as he is, so am I when? In this world now. We're not called to be pulled out of the world. In fact, that's why in John, Jesus is praying. He goes, Father, I love these guys a whole lot. I love them, but don't bring them out of the world. Don't bring them out of the world. Instead, be with them.
That's right.
May they be one as, Father, you and I are one, rooted, connected, right? You can graft in a tree together and they become one. Together. It might start off as two different trees, but you can graft it and let those things begin to intertwine. They begin to have an exchange. Be one as we are one. And here's the reality of this. We can never be horizontally one with the rest of the body of Christ until we're one with him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's the only way that opens up the door for you to be one with the rest of the body. Because it's the fruit of what? The Spirit. Now, let me say this. Yes, Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one God, but they have distinct personalities, right? It functions in what they do. So notice it doesn't say the fruit of the Father. It doesn't say the fruit of the Son. It says the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is the character of God being manifest. But I have to submit my life to the Spirit here in the world in order to be able to be connected to the Father's heart there in heaven. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places, but that only comes because of my connection with the Holy Spirit. I can't be seated with Him if I don't have the Holy Spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it's the fruit of the Spirit that's working these things together in it. So as He is, the character, the way God thinks, the way He feels, the way He behaves, overflows out of my life into the world around me. And we're called to demonstrate the character of the Father. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm going to skip around a little bit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, Paul's specifically going after the Old Testament covenant, meaning that, hey, the law was actually dealt with Christ. He fulfilled the law, so you're no longer supposed to be in slavery to an old religious system. You're now free to operate with Him. What was the law for? The law was to show man what would be required in order to be able to be perfect on your own. So the law was always meant to be a stumbling block. Why? Because if you violated one aspect of the law, it didn't matter if you did the rest of the 99% correctly. If you violated one aspect of the law, you violated the whole thing. Right? And so he's saying you can never be good enough. You can never do it on your own. You need to surrender your life to the wholeness of who God is. The beauty of it is when you become born again, you live the same way. I can never be the love or the patience or the peace of God on my own. I can never lay hands on the sick and see them recover unless I'm surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. So the same humility that requires to submit to the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the same thing that's required to operate in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's not you doing it, it's your surrender. So it's for freedom. You have a choice now of whether you're going to submit. Now notice he says submit again to the law, the yoke of slavery. I would say this, whatever you submitted your life to before Christ, you could insert into that yoke of slavery. It could be, if I submit my life again to the yoke of addiction, I could submit my life again to the yoke of codependency or unforgiveness or bitterness or any of those other things. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not just the law. What were you in slavery to that Jesus set you free? He says it's time to be free again. If you're born again, say, I am. So because of that, your nature's already been transformed. And I get questions a lot of times saying, hey, you know, Jay, I know I'm born again. I know that scripture. The old is past, the new has come. I'm a brand new creation. But why is it that I continue to struggle with this old nature thing? If it's dead, why does it keep barking at me? Why do I keep struggling, falling into it? Is there something wrong with me? And I always tell somebody, no, something's not wrong with you. You're just connected into the wrong source. So you have to be rooted in who He is, not rooted in the old stuff. Jesus was tempted. In every way we're tempted without sin. So when the Satan came to tempt Him with different things, hey, you're hungry? Go ahead and make these stones into bread. You're hungry, right? So there's a wanting. There's a desire, provision. God, the Father's not providing for you. You're so hungry. Why is the Father not providing for you? Once you do it on your own, you have the power to do it. Right? And what does Jesus go? No, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It wasn't because Jesus was super spiritual that He could deny the devil. It was because He was rooted in His Father. And remember, prior to this, He had just come being baptized in the water by John and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God led Him to the desert place. So I'm just going to say this. God never tempts you with evil because He won't tempt Himself. But sometimes He'll lead you to a place where you can see whether you're walking in the character of God or not. He'll allow you to be tempted. So it's an opportunity for you to put stake in the ground and say, no, I am rooted in Him. Oh my God, there's something wrong with me because I'm being tempted by this whole thing. No, no, no. The devil's just trying to see if he can get you back. And the Father's one, I'm going to let you see that my grace is sufficient for you. That you can manifest the fruit of my Spirit out of your relationship with me. He's not going to shield you from temptation all the time. But He empowers you with His fruit which has already overcome the temptation. He says, I've already overcome the whole world. I've already overcome the system. Don't worry about it. So when we're coming to this place, what he's wanting to do is bring you into freedom so you can choose what you're going to tap into. Let me hear you say, I get to choose. Say it again. I get to choose. This is freedom for somebody. Say it one more time. I get to choose who I'm going to tap into. That's my choice. I don't have to work at it. I just choose whether I'm going to be submitted, live by, led by the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through your love serve one another. So we're about to get, I'm going to read here Galatians 16 in a second, 5:16. But I want you to get this understanding of the flesh itself. You've been called to freedom, but don't let your ability to choose, okay, lead you to choose what's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? So listen to what it says, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify, you will not give in to the desires of the flesh. So there's some teaching that's out there that if you're not clear on it, it could be messy. The difference between the flesh and the spirit man of God. And the reality is the flesh, until we get to heaven, the flesh is always going to be there to speak at us, but it's no longer a part of us. Does that make sense? So Jesus, he crucified the what? The flesh. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Jesus. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live daily is lived by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So there's this aspect of the old has been dealt with, but it still comes back at you, okay? And there's desires that the flesh has that are no longer really your desires, but if you're not careful, they'll sound like your desires. And whatever you tap into as your source will become the root of your desire. Whatever you tap into as your source will become a root to your desires. So it says this, verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So again, before we jump into what the works of the flesh or the fruit of the flesh is, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. So if you're born again, and once again, you've been saying it all morning, that's good. Say, I am. So your flesh, after me, my flesh, was crucified with Jesus. It's no longer a part of who I am. Okay, so if we can get that, then you can understand this. But the Spirit of God makes me alive, and that's who I am. Right? The Spirit of God made me alive. It was the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, the same Spirit that lives in me. I'm a brand new creation, okay? So stop being boiled down to my sin nature, my nature, the flesh. All that. It's not a battle against that. It's actually a battle against an old nature that's been crucified, and the devil's trying to come back at you and mess with you. And the Holy Spirit's saying this, I live inside of you. I live inside of you. I live inside of you. This is what's possible. So I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh, and I would say the fruit. Let me hear you say the fruit. So the fruit, if it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and then there's going to be fruits of the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. And let me just say this too. It doesn't say it here, but gossip and slander is also another form of sorcery and witchcraft. Okay? Because it's spinning a lie, it's spinning a spell. So just understand, it's not just did you get into black magic. But if I begin to partner with jealousy and begin to slander and things like that, it's actually casting the spell. if you look at the original language, that'll get you into that. So, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Let me hear you say things like these. So if yours didn't show up, your old thing, it says things like this. Okay, so there's lots of stuff, lots of different fruit of the flesh. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me hear you say inherit. So what is that really talking to? What are you rooted into? What are you connected to is going to produce fruit in your life? You are designed to produce fruit. And it's either going to be fruit of the flesh or it's going to be fruit of the Holy Spirit. And now you're set free. Remember, Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that you've been set free from the yoke of slavery. Now you have the opportunity to choose righteousness or not. What are you going to choose? Remember, Joshua, choose whom today, whom you're going to serve. And when it looks into this thing, talking about those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, if you consider this, the level of inheritance, when I'm tapped into Jesus, when I'm tapped into the Holy Spirit, remember, as he is, so am I in this world. Okay? So the question is, what does Jesus inherit from his Father? What type of characteristics did he inherit from his Father? Right? What thoughts does he have? What has he inherited? That's the kingdom thoughts. So I understand it's the rule and the domain, but let's make it relational. Okay? What am I inheriting? But whenever I tap into the wrong source, a dead source, guess what I inherit? The fruit of a dead thing. I inherit the characteristics of a dead thing. You will always manifest or behave based off of what you're inheriting. This is why your mind and your thoughts are so incredibly important. One of the fruit of the Spirit is the peace of God. It makes us whole with God. And there's this verse that says, now the peace of God, which transcends your ability to understand, will guard your what? Your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What is the heart? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your thoughts. And so it's saying literally, when you tap into the fruit of the Holy Spirit, who he is, what's going to do is the way you feel, the way you act, the way you behave is going to be protected, and that's what you're going to produce. At the same time, though, if you tap into the flesh, you're going to produce things that look contrary to the Holy Spirit. And that's why he says you're not going to inherit the kingdom. You won't inherit in the moment what you need from the kingdom of heaven because you're connected to the wrong source. Now, I don't want to be so heavy on connected to the wrong source. The beautiful thing is we have an answer. What do you do? Be led by the Spirit. Forget that stuff. Lord, I'm one in you. What are we going to produce in my life? I get to end up cheering on who God is inside of me. Look what it says, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now remember, each of those are demonstration of the character of who God is. Verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now hear this. It's not saying the same thing. If you live by it, have you been made alive? Remember, it's the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the graves and the one that made you alive. The Spirit of God, you were born again by the Spirit. So this is talking about if you've been born again and you're alive because the Holy Spirit made you alive, then you have to walk by the Spirit. It's a choice. I can choose to be born again and choose not to walk by the Spirit. I can get into the promised land and choose to live on, like here, all right, there's the Jordan River and I'm right here. There's a lot more of the promised land, but I'm going to be just happy right here. I'm going to stay just on this side of salvation. And I'm not going to walk by the thing that made me alive. And the reality is you can't do that for very long. And you have an authentic salvation. At some point, there's going to be a conviction that's going to begin to pull on your heart. The conviction of the Holy Spirit that says, I made you alive. I'm inside of you. Sometimes we go, why am I feeling so off about this? Why am I doing this? It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that's wanting to convict you about what's right about you. And then it's an invitation for you to step into the righteousness of God. And it's a surrender to the Holy Spirit. It says, verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I feel like there's somebody, whether you're watching online or somebody that's here live, you feel like the passion and the desire of the flesh has been chasing you down. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if you belong to him, it's been crucified with Jesus. It's actually a ghost. Don't use the power of resurrecting to resurrect who you were not or who you were before. Okay, it's the ghost of Christmas past. Okay, let that dude die. Let him buried. You're alive in Christ. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And it continues on. Let me give you a little bit of perspective on each of these fruits, and then we're going to pray. So when we talk about love, it's not just, and I talked about this about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when we talked about let love be your highest goal. It's the agape love of God. It's the perfect love of God. It's not just an attribute of God. It actually is who God is, says he is, right? Multiple verses say God is love itself. So it's the expression of, not only is God going to produce a fruit in your life, but it's not just going to be, oh, I love you. You know, heart emoji, right? You know, like that temporal love. It's going to be, no, the same way the Father loves you, Daniel, I love you. You hear what I'm saying? Like, that's the fruit that begins to boil up inside of us. And maybe it starts as an immature thing. Maybe it's like when that apple first comes out, it's just a blossom. It's a bloom. But you know that blossom is destined to become fruit? And so what do we do? I don't look at the day of small beginnings and go, well, I'm not a full apple tree yet, so gosh, I must be a failure. No, you're growing into love. And what it's going to begin to do is as you foster, as you stay rooted in him, what's going to end up happening is I worship him. As I get into here and I'm putting my roots down deep into the word of God, as I get into that place of worship. And I don't need music to worship, but I love music to worship. And I'm just in this place, and there's that old Boston song that says, it's more than a feeling, right? Great guitar riffs too. But it's more than a feeling. Like, it's more than I'm sensing something. No, it's this connectivity to the one who is love. And I begin to grow in that. And then all of a sudden, here's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit's not just for me. I benefit from the fruit of the Spirit, yes. And I benefit from salvation, yes. But it was never meant for just for me. It's for the world. Did Jesus need the fruit of the Spirit in order to be whole with his Father? No. He already had all that. What was he doing? He was demonstrating who the Father is to a lost and dying world. And so when Jesus says, Father, I'm going to be with you pretty soon. You and I are going to be one. Return the glory to me that we shared from the beginning of the foundations of the earth. This is going to be great. And I love these guys. Don't bring him out of the world. I hate the eschatology that says, well, he's right around the corner. Let me go ahead and prepare. Jesus is coming back in my generation, so guess what? This is going to be good. The rest of the world can go to hell in a handbasket. He's right around the corner. My question is, what are you doing until you get around the corner? How much fruit are you producing between here and him coming back?
Say that.
Because when he comes back, he's coming back as king. There's one second coming. You can hear me say this over and over again because I believe it's robbed people from our inheritance in him to actually become the Father of light. Not that I am the Father, I'm not God, but I become a manifestation of his character, of his nature, of the love of God, of the joy of God that, yes, is my strength, but Jesus, so much more than that. Peace, this aspect in the Greek where it ties into the Hebrew word of peace, which was shalom. Shalom didn't just mean like peace, right? It was wholeness. That what's been torn together, you bring back together, you join together, and there's a level of wholeness. When Jesus says, I came to heal the brokenhearted, what he's saying is those broken parts of your heart, I'm bringing back together, and I'm making it a whole heart again. That's the fruit of this Holy Spirit, is wholeness. It's peace that's beyond your ability to understand, that guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's the patience of God. And what I love about the patience of God is it's not just knowing what to do, but when to do it. Like, I can wait on the Lord because I know his timing is going to be perfect. And so while I'm waiting, I can still be a manifestation of his goodness. But at the same time, you can do the right thing in the wrong timing, and it will be a disaster. So what do? I get to this place of patience, Lord. I get to be with you. And your perfect timing actually manifests as a fruit in my life? Come on, I'm always on time. Some of y'all missed that. I'm not always on time in the natural realm. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is never late. He's never early. He's always on time. When you operate in the patience of who he is, he's always on time, which means as he is, so am I. I'm always on time. I can have a patience. It removes striving. I think patience is actually the counter to striving, because I can just be patient in the right time. There's this aspect of kindness and goodness that's really good as well. In Romans, it says the kindness of God is what leads to repentance. And I'm going to pull up this Greek real quick. I don't give you a lot of Greek all the time, but I want to make sure I'm looking at the right one. And don't ask me to pronounce these for you, okay? But the Greek word for goodness, let me go back up to this. Y'all okay?
Yes.
With bated breath. Here we go. It means this, literally, goodness. Uprightness, kindness, and gentleness. It's well fit for what is really needed. Kindness that is serviceable. It refers to meeting real needs in God's way and in his timing. Hence, it's listed as a fruit of the Spirit. So when understanding God's kindness, he knows exactly what you need when you need it, and he will bring that about. And so you begin to walk in this aspect of there's a gift of the Holy Spirit. This is interesting. It just kind of strikes me here. So you get to hear it for the first time. There's a gift of the Spirit that is words of knowledge, information you didn't get outside of divine revelation. And I think that's good. But what if in his kindness, I actually know what people need before they know they need it, and it's not because it's a word of knowledge, but because I'm actually carrying the kindness of God? Because a gift is not who I am, but kindness is. So if you ever felt like, I can't move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay, once you operate in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, operate from that, and you're going to find that the Father knows what people need, and you'll be able to be kind when they need it and bring exactly what they need. So ask in the Holy Spirit, how do you want me to manifest who you are to the people around me? Is that good? I thought that was good. I didn't need y'all to tell me that's good. And here's goodness. Inherently good. Properly, intrinsically good, especially as a unique quality and condition, relates to believers. The goodness that comes from God and showing itself in spiritual, moral excellence or virtue. Or there's this other part I want to read you. I guess not. So there's a difference between the goodness and the kindness of God. One thing is I know at it, goodness is just who he is. He's always good. It's the virtue of who he is. And then finally, there's this aspect of self-control. Let me hear you say self-control. That does not mean that you always control yourself because you tried really hard. But it means in submission and surrender to him. The way God controls himself, you have the ability to control yourself. Is God ever out of control? So let's go back to 1 John 4:17. In fact, repeat after me. 1 John 4:17. So in case you didn't write that down, I want you all to go find that verse, 1 John 4:17. As he is, so am I in this world. So I want you all to stand up with me. Holy Spirit, just come. And minister to us right now. Lord, let us see that the fruit of your Spirit is not just for us, but for the world. That it is a demonstration of your character, the way you think, the way you feel, the way you behave, as an overflow into the world around us. But at the same time, God, there's times in our life that we need an absolute demonstration of your goodness to us. So I just ask, if you're right there right now saying, hey, yeah, I'd like to be good to the rest of the world, but right now I need to feel it myself. I need to touch myself. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you right now. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and demonstrate your goodness to each person, that you would demonstrate your kindness, that you would demonstrate your love, that you would demonstrate your patience. that you would demonstrate your faithfulness. That you would counter every single lie that says that you're a disinterested father, that you're an angry dad, or a mean God. Just tear those lies down now in the name of Jesus. Instead, the fruit of who you are is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. Lord, it was for freedom that you set us free. So we just remind ourselves right now, we are free in you. In fact, right now to say, I am free in you. Jesus, as you are, so am I in this world right now. Show me how to be you to my immediate family and to the people in my life. I surrender to your power. It's by your power I can use the gifts. And it's by your power that I produce fruit. Your way in me now, in Jesus' name. All God's people said. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.